Some of you remember when I was speaking several months ago, and I believe the aquarium experience in Cincinnati reminded me of this, where a television program that I had been viewing indicated that sea turtles, which we did see at the aquarium, are able to swim and leave 1,000 miles away from their birthplace. And then after 25 years, suddenly have the inclination to go back and lay their eggs within as close as a couple of meters, 6 feet or so, from where they were born. After 25 years, and as I indicated back then, it certainly gives more impetus to the idea that even we discussed in our Sabbath school lesson and shared as how God influences our minds through dreams and how he connects people and brings about events in order of your life and my life, that certainly we can believe when Jesus says in John 10, he said, "You will hear my voice. My people, my sheep, will respond to my voice." So as we look at dreams, as we think about the blessed Spirit of God, how sensitive we should be, if turtles in his creation can do that. This is an amazing privilege for us to be in tune to the Spirit of God. And no wonder our servant of the church, Ellen White, writes that we should try to keep this and ask the Holy Spirit to keep our human machine sensitive. And I believe that's why Daniel 1 starts this incredible tour, because what we take in, may it be guided by the Holy Spirit so that we can be sensitive to hear his voice. Sometimes backstories are not that interesting, but I'm going to share this at the risk of you may say, well, so what? How did we arrive at this point? I'm going to share a bit, and this is part of it, invited some of the leaders of the church, if they so desire, to share their testimony. And this is somewhat of how I sense God connected and make this Holy Spirit emphasis possible. I have a previous head elder at Northside who's in well into his mid-80s now, and he, before Christmas, suggested that the Northside family go through the 10 days of prayer. He went so far, he's very adept at the digital world, and he already had it laid out for me as far as the topics. And these are the topics that piqued my interest when I first saw his suggestion that we go through the 10 days of prayer. Notice these topics that you can access anytime you wish and see what we've been through as a group. Our need of the Holy Spirit. The witness of the Holy Spirit. Victory through the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Submission to the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. Abiding in the Holy Spirit. And seeking God's Spirit. When I saw that list, there was something inside me that resonated. I said, I need to be part of this. And I invited two of the three churches in the district to join. And I'm so thankful that I sense the Holy Spirit did make that possible for us to take this tour. I sense the need myself. And I asked Daylene, who used to work as a librarian at Walla Walla College when she was going to school, and she is my librarian. And so I said, what do we have in the Holy Spirit in the way of the Holy Spirit. What books do we have? And so she pulled out nearly a half a dozen, one of which was a pastor that used to pastor in the Upper Columbia Conference from Australia. And of course, when you have an Australian accent, it's not quite like, I mean, it's a little more evident than the Canadian, as you made reference to. But he was obviously from afar. His name was Gary Williams. And one of the books that he wrote, that Daylene pulled out, was a devotional book that I had not focused in on for decades. It was written for the church, for the year, devotional book called Welcome, Holy Spirit. And it was written in 1994, ways back. And of course, to young people, it's the previous millennium. Sorry, Elizabeth. But anyway, yeah, this is a kind of an ancient text. But it goes through from Genesis through Revelation. And every Holy Spirit, I might even say spike of the Word of God, it covers everything from Genesis to Revelation. When I say everything, that's in quotes, of course, but 365 readings. And so during our Christmas break, I went through a significant portion of that and was re-inspired by the topic that would sensitize me, and that I could come with some spirit reservoir in my being as well. I believe the key text for this series, in fact it is, it's right in front of me, Acts 4:31. After this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. Now, if you look at that passage, you know that the previous life of the people that are being referred to were so shy, so in the lack of courage, that they ran. They ran. They couldn't take the heat. And here in Acts 4:31, they spoke the word with boldness. Anyone lack courage? Anyone lack? Are you shy? Are you reticent? Are you quiet? Yes, you are very quiet right now. Very quiet. But I believe there's a time for courage and boldness. And it doesn't have to be a loud boldness. But somehow, they just communicated strength. One of the most sobering passages in Revelation is that cowards will not be in the new earth. They will not be. Cowards will not be there. And I don't know the etymology of that Greek word, but it just struck out with me. It resonated with me. And so they preach the word with boldness. I remember how reticent I was after that dream that I had of Yuma Pine being involved with a plot, a sinister plot, and how I just recoiled. I was in fear. I didn't want to betray my fellow believers, but I knew that they were going to be after me, and I had to answer, and I had to tell the truth by God's grace. What am I going to do? You know, I mean, these emotions are strong. And I appreciate some of the prayers that I heard this week, you know, very, very honest prayers, fears, needing courage, and know that what we face in the future could be like a Daniel experience. We might have to stand like Daniel and his friends. Another backstory regarding where we are. Maybe I just want to leave an encouragement for those of us to go forward, those of us going forward. And I trust that your life will continue this new year. We just don't know from day to day. But this new hymnal sensitized me as to the significance of the Holy Spirit in Romans 8. If I was going to leave a word from my testimony, as others will be testifying, that for this new year, if the Holy Spirit directs you to pray and listen and open your Bible to Romans 8. And this new hymn book from our sponsor reading highlighted that, and that's where I got the hymns today, because it came together. And when I see Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In other words, not to their fears or not to their passions, but according to the Spirit. This is the mountaintop of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Romans 8. There are more references in this chapter than in any other place of the Bible. It's more concentrated. There are 19 references to the Holy Spirit. It's concentrated. So I know we don't have time necessarily to plummet hardly any of this chapter, but if I was to bequeath your spiritual walk into 2020, make this a focus of your life. You will not be disappointed. As David Azarick, one of the more gifted Holy Spirit preachers in our church today, says, this is my favorite chapter of all the Bible. It's the mountaintop of what Paul says life of the Spirit is. We, in the previous 10 days, we hardly touched on Romans 8. It was prelude. It was a lot from John 14, John 16, Ephesians chapter 4, but quite a few references to Acts, Acts 1 and 2, perhaps in the gifted portion, 1 Corinthians 12. But Romans 8 says the Spirit of life is Jesus. Romans 8, including, notice, there are many titles given to the Holy Spirit in this chapter. The Spirit of life in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, and the Spirit of adoption. In Romans 8, Christians walk according to the Spirit, live according to the Spirit, are led by the Spirit, and have the first fruits of the Spirit, and by the Spirit cry out, Daddy, Daddy, Abba, Abba. And that's music to a parent's ears. And that's music to, apparently, our Heavenly Father, when you cry out and want to have a relationship with Him. It begins with no condemnation. And how does it end? No separation. So you've got no condemnation at the beginning of Romans 8 and no separation. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. So that mountain of Romans 8, I encourage you to move forward. I will never forget reading this passage about 3 months ago to people that were at our house, and they were unsheltered, they were homeless, and I happened to have my pocket message Bible there, and so I read the end of Romans 8 to them, and I hadn't realized this is either, but Eugene Peterson uses the word homelessness in his message. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And in that list, he uses homelessness. And this homeless person, what? That's in there? That's in print? I mean, he was in shock. He was just utterly moved. You didn't add that? No, I didn't. Look at this. And I said, this is your copy. I underlined it and put an arrow next to it. So this is a kind of a, what you might say is a memorial, a Ebenezer in his spiritual life that's underlined, that nothing, including homelessness, will separate you from the love of God. This year, walk according to the Spirit along the entire pathway of Romans 8. I encourage you and challenge you for that, with that. And now, some of you that perhaps had a chance to be part of the group, I just will share, let this time be yours. Anyone would like to talk about your experience of the 10 days of prayer and what that is like for you?
Maybe I'll start it.
Okay.
Since I was privileged to be there all but one night, It was one of the most blessed times I've had with this congregation. A time when we shared personal as well as more corporate concerns. And to have that an opportunity to say in the freedom of that time how much we need his help, that Holy Spirit in us, as well as the comfort and encouragement of the rest of the members of our congregation. It was all one of the most blessing-filled times I've experienced here. Thank you.
Yeah, I was also blessed with the nights that I was there, and I guess I'm going to just share last evening. We focused in on John 17, and it's every time I hear that chapter or read that chapter, it is incredibly encouraging how deeply God wants us. And I would encourage each of us to read that chapter regularly, to get a sense of the need God feels, that Jesus feels for us.
Thank you.
One of the things that I appreciated was, it's something that God's been working on my heart about, and in getting more back into intercession, praying for others. Mm. And that was one of the big emphases this past 10 days. Not only did we each choose at least 7 people that we personally prayed for, but there was a list through each night where we were praying for workers in different parts of the world and their needs, asking God to particularly be with them, specific needs that they had, whether it was opening the work or whether it was medical work or whether there were many different things that were mentioned. But interceding with God, that's one of the big jobs of the Holy Spirit, is interceding for us in ways that we can't express. And being able to be part of that ministry is such a privilege.
Yeah, thank you.
I have to agree with Pam. And I know I just felt by the end, it was the last night we were not able to get there. But at the end, I felt more comfortable of confessing my shortcomings and being able to speak clearly about that, like in Romans states, you know, that you don't know what to say, but the Holy Spirit groans for you. But I think the prayers were the biggest thing for me, for that that meant the most. And I would encourage every one of you to go online to 10daysofprayer.org and just take time to go through the prayers that were listed, because they were so meaningful. It's like one was saying, please change my heart, O God, and make it ever true. Cleanse me from sin and prepare me to receive your Spirit. That has a lot of meaning to it. Just take time to express it. And it was so much fun to be able to express your feelings more, because you could see how it was worded.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, Carla.
These lists that we prayed for were quite interesting in that there were a number of things mentioned, projects mentioned, that we were totally unfamiliar with. We'd never heard of them before. But it was an illustration to me of how the Holy Spirit works in so many different places that we have no idea about, and yet he is at work. And so it was kind of special to be able to pray for something that we didn't know was going on somewhere else. And maybe others found out about things too that they didn't know that was happening around the world. But the Holy Spirit works everywhere, and this was to me an illustration of that.
Yes.
Yeah, I too was struck with the enormity, you know, of the work and that has to be done, and not only that though, but it's the ability that the Spirit has, you know, his ability to soften hearts and to change our focus from ourselves to him, you know, and I felt it was a very blessed time to refocus. You know, too often we look too much to ourselves, to our abilities and our capabilities, but when you really start to look at what actually needs to happen, you realize that this is beyond any of us, but it's not beyond God. And so the Spirit isn't a luxury, it's a necessity. You know, and I would reinforce Pastor's call to study Romans 8 and maybe throw in a little bit of an extra. Perhaps you should study Romans 7 in conjunction with it. For that shows us what we're capable of, which is nothing. And what he's capable of is shown in Romans chapter 8. You know, and we so need the Spirit to open our eyes. And I was reminded of Jacob, you know, until he was touched and crippled, he didn't realize, you know, his need. And I think that's one of the works of the Spirit, and I pray that he'll work that work in every one of his people, not only here, but across the entire world. But it was a very blessed time. It was good.
Romans 8:26 highlights the groaning of the Holy Spirit and the heavy lifting of the Spirit of God on our behalf. And Gary Williams illustrates this, that they have a piano, and as an evangelist moving around the country of Australia, they would have to move this piano over and over. And some of you have been involved with moving of pianos. Yes, okay. Usually it's four or five people to preserve their backs and to make it a reasonable amount. And so they called to have this piano moved that for their next move, and two people showed up. Two people. It's somewhat like even the local piano movers, Lynette Dickerson and her husband. Have that reputation as well. Dennis is acknowledging that too. It's notorious. Well, instead of a team, two people came. One person was rather stout, big guy. And they were astounded that two people would show up to move this piano. He harnessed himself up to the piano with straps. And he literally lifted the entire piano by himself with those straps. Imagine the thighs that were on him. And the other person's job, since he couldn't see his way out of their house being strapped to a piano, the other person's job was to guide him. Now, I know the metaphor doesn't fit all the way with Romans 8:26, but he used that illustration by saying the groaning of the Holy Spirit is the heavy lifting that we can leverage and trigger in our intercessory prayer some spiritually massive experiences. Great Controversy 5:25 talks about that God is able to move in ways that otherwise he couldn't without intercessory prayer and leveraging the Holy Spirit through intercessory prayer. Only in heaven will we totally understand some of those concepts. When I say totally, begin to. Yesterday was a big day for Daylene and I. Because, like in Luke chapter 11, the Father wants to give good gifts. The Father wants to give good gifts. Even evil fathers want to give, like the King James uses the word, you know, as evil as we are, as sinful as we are, we want to pass on good gifts. And so Jesus uses this illustration by saying, how much more, and it's, unfortunately, when you are drawn close to your family, you want to be closer even more. You know, it just never is totally satisfying. And so we packaged a box for our soon-to-be 7-year-old on Tuesday. And I was delighted to know that when I went to the post office, that when she said, this will arrive on the 21st, that was just like music to my ears, and I passed that on to Daylene, that the quilt that Daylene made for Emmerich with aquarium sharks that you could pet. Yeah, even your pastor petted a shark. And so the blanket is filled with sharks. And it was pressed down into the box along with other items that Daylene and I had collected. Jesus says that the Father is even more anxious to give you the Holy Spirit than parents or even grandparents are anxious to give good gifts to their children.